Bezras Hashem Yisparech, today's daf is Tezayin in Masechta Shkalim. It's the 458th daf in Shas. Our daf will continue the analysis from yesterday. We recorded the second half of yesterday's daf, which began the new perek of Shlosha Asar Shofaros, which immediately gets involved to a fascinating discussion of the location of the Aron after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Our Gemara will continue with that discussion, as well as discuss other kelim of the Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara will discuss the making of the Shemen HaMishcha. Then the Gemara will get involved with halachos of anointment. The Shemen HaMishcha, of course, was used to anoint. The Gemara then on the bottom will get involved and return to the Aron, in terms of the dimensions of the Aron, calculations of how the Sefer Torah fit inside of the Aron, and we will get to a discussion of the Luchos, as well as exactly how the Sefer Torah fit inside to the Aron. And finally, the Gemara will conclude its discussion by bringing up the issue of Ein Muktam Umu'uchar B'Torah, and that will bring us to the bottom of Tezayin Amabez, Bezras Hashem Yisbarach. So let's begin the ride. We pick up two lines from the bottom on Tezvav Amabez, towards the bottom, where the Gemara picks up with a Machloikis Amorayim that we had left off with. And that was whether the Aron, after the destruction of the Bayis, was Nignaz. There were, even within the opinions that said that it had been Nignaz, that it had been buried in the Har HaBayis, there were different opinions of where. Fascinating discussion in yesterday's daf. And there were some opinions who had said that the Aron went to Golus. That propelled the Gemara to discuss whether there were actually two Arons or one Aron during the time of the Mishkan and the Migdash. Was there one Aron for the Shivrei Luchos and another for the Sefer Torah? And did the Shivrei Luchos always go out with Klal Yisrael to war? Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish was of the opinion that there were two different Aronos, and one had the Sefer Torah that stayed in the center, in the Mishkan, and the one with the Shivrei Luchos used to go out to war. Gemara continues, Misayil Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, Ha'aron v'Yisrael v'Yehuda yoshvin basukos. The Torah describes in Shmuel Beis that the Aron, Klal Yisrael, and Yehuda were all sitting in tents. Asks the Gemara on the top of our daf on Tezayin Amar Alf, Alo Aron b'Tzion hayu. But wasn't the Aron in Sion, in Yerushalayim? Now this was after David had taken the Aron up from Kiryas Yearim. So the Aron Luchura would have been Sion. It must have been that Uriah had taken the Aron because it was the Aron Hasheni that, as Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish was of the opinion, that used to go out to war, and there were two distinct Aron, or Aronos, or Aronot. May Avdalei Rabbanim, what are the Rabbanim going to do in response to this riot? It sounds like a good riot from the Pasuk. Answers the Gemara, Schach Shehu Kekeru, Adayin Lo Nivne Beis HaBechira. The attention of the Pasuk is not to say that the Aron was with the people out where they were going for war, but rather because the Beis HaNigdash had not been built, Adayin Lo Nivne Beis HaBechira, so then in such a case, it was considered as if it was sitting in a hut. Now the Gemara mentions other things that were put into Gneza, Mishenignaz HaAron. When the Aron was put into Gneza, Nignaz Imotz and Senas Hamon, Soch Hashem and HaMishcha. Also what went into Gneza was the bit of man that had been saved as a zecher of the man that we had eaten, as well as the plate of Shemna Mishcha, Umakloi Shel Aaron, as well as the staff of Aaron, Uprachav Ushkedov, Vargoz Sheheshivu Plishtim Asham Lelekei Yisrael. Even the box that the Plishtim had sent back after they had taken the Aaron as Kilu a sign of their charata, of what they had done, even that was put into Geniza. Sheshivu plishtim asham lelokei Yisrael. All of that was put into Gneza. Says the Gemara Miganza, who put the Aron exactly into Gneza? Yoshio Nignas. Yoshio did it. Kivan Shirosh Kosov. Since he had seen the Pasuk in the Dvarim. Yoylech Hashem Moschav es Malkech Asher Tokum Lecha Elagoya Shel Yidato Atova Vasecha. That when Klal Yisrael would go into Golus, they would go to a nation that was foreign to them. So Yoshio was afraid that the Aron would fall into bad hands. Amad Ugnaza. He stood up and he put into Gneza Hado Dechsiv. And this is what the Pasuk says. Vayomer Lalavim Hamivim Lechoyis Vahakdashim Hashem Tnuas Aron HaKodesh Babayis Asherbanu Lashloim Asherbanu Shloim Ben Dov Melech Yisrael Ein Lechem Masa Bakosef. Amar Lehem Im Goy Lohu Imachem. Lebavel, even if they allow you to go up from Bavel, I'm afraid that they're not going to allow you to return with the Aron. The Aron is too valuable, and they're going to want to hold on to it. Ela, rather, now you should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael by giving up in the Aron and burying it. Once we mention that the Shemen HaMishcha had also been hidden, we now begin to explain parts of the Shemen HaMishcha. Pitum Shemen HaMishcha. What exactly is the Pitum Shemen HaMishcha? So the Pasuk says, V'ata kach lecha v'goymer v'kida in shmois lamid Pasuk chav gemel en chav dalad. It also says, V'kida chamesh meos hein elef v'chamesh meos monim. This is a calculation of the amount of samim monim that were into the Pitum Shemen HaMishcha. Shemen Zayis Hin, Shnei Masar Lug, it had 12 Lug, Sheboi Shulkin, they would cook Esa Ikarin, the primary Besamim, Divrei Meir, this is the opinion of Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Imer Shulkin Hayu, they would cook it Bamayim, in water, V'noisin Shemen Algamim, and then they put Shemen on top of it, Mishahaya Koilet Esarech, when the Shemen would absorb the smell, Hayim Avira Keder Shapatom and Oisai, they would do it the way those who made perfumes do it, and put it into a dish. Hadol d'chsiv, Shemen Mishchas Kodesh. That is what was the Shemen Mishchas Kodesh. Gemara continues. Tani Rabbi Yehuda Bar Rabbi Eloi. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi taught Shemen HaMishcha Shasa Moshe B'Midbar Maisa Nisim Nasaboy. The Shemen HaMishcha that was originally made in the Mishnah in the Midbar was done through a miracle. Mitchil of Atzof. Shemitchil Lo Yeba El Shnei Masar Lug. Originally it started off only being 12 Lug. Shneimar Shemen Zayis Hin. The midah of a hin is 12 lug. Im losach ba'osi karim loyeba sipek. Even the basic needs of the mashicha couldn't be done. Achas kama v'kama sha'ur ba'leya. That when they cooked it, as we mentioned before, it was cooked. Then the heat causes it, some of it to be absorbed. In other words, I think it means to cause it to evaporate. Va'etzim bolim, and the besamim that are put around the oil also absorb. Vayora bolas, and the pot that sits, fire absorbs. Mimenu nimshchu hamishkan v'chol kelev, and from that they anointed the mishkan and all of the kelim. V'chol kelev, hashulchan v'chol kelev, hamenor v'chol kelev, u'mimenu nimshchu aron hagadol, uvan of kol shivas yimei meluim, and they would anoint the kohanim during the seventh day of the shemei meluim. Menim shechul kohanim gedolim, and all subsequent kohanim gedolim were anointed from them. Umelachim, and all the kings from all the generations, they also were anointed from those 12 measly 12 ugim. Melech betchila pon mishicha. The rules are in terms of a melech who needs mishicha is if someone is the first time that he's a king in his family, he needs mishicha. Melech ben melech ain't on mishicha, but the son of a previously coronated king does not require mishicha. My time, how do we know this? Because the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph Perik Tezayin tells us kum mishachenu ki zehu. The pasuk says that Shmuel had said in regards to David, zehu, he's the one that needs the mishicha. That means zeh comes to exclude. Zeh to mishicha ve'ein benoy to mishicha. David needs Mashiach. In this case, his son Shlomo does not need Mashiach. Avol Kohen Gadol ben Kohen Gadol fiyad asar daris to Mashiach. But every Kohen Gadol requires Mashiach. V'kula kayim lo asid lavoy. And nevertheless, the oil remained even lo asid lavoy. Harei u'dechsiv. This is what the pasuk says in Shmo Islamit. Shem mishkas kodesh yezeh. Li l'dor seichem will be for me for l'dor seichem that miraculously never got used up. The Gemara continues halachas of being Moshech kings. A Moshech Malachim El Gabe Amayin. It's supposed to be done by a moving body of water. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Malachim Perik Aleph Yerkavtem Eshlema Bni Alapirda Shaliv Aratem Oisay El Gechoyim. We see it was supposed to be done by the Gochain by a Mayan of running water. The Gemara now says an interesting reason why we do anointing on a king, the son of a king, even though the halacha is that one does not need to. Ein moishchen melech ben melech el mepnei machloikis. That the reason we anoint is to prevent from machlokis. So if there was a controversy over who should be the next one to take over from his father, so then we anoint. Because of Machlokes that Odiniyo had wanted to take the king, he had said, Ani emloch, in the beginning of Malachim. And similarly, Yoash also was anointed, Mipnei Asalyo, because Asalyo had challenged. Yehoachaz, the son of Yoshio, also needed to be anointed. Mipnei Yoachim Achim, Shehagadu Menu Shtein Shanim. He had a brother that was 2 years older than him, who objected to Yehoachaz taking the Malchus after Yoshio had passed away. Yehu also was Nimshach, Mipnei Yoram, because Yoram had challenged his kingship. The Gemara asks, is it true that in these cases they would use a Shem and a Mishcha? Lo Keng Siv, doesn't the Pasuk say in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tezayin, Kum Mashcheu Ki Zehu, Zeh Ton Mashicha, Ve'ei Malchus Yisrael Ton Mashicha, that only Malchus Beis David requires Mashicha, and not Malchus Yisrael, and Yehu was from Malchus Yisrael. Elo Yochaz Pnei Yochim Achiv Shai Godom Nei Shtai Shanim, Yo Yochaz was anointed, Velo Yoshiyahu Gnozo. But now we have a separate question, and that is that didn't Yoshio, hadn't he been Nignazit? Hada Amra, no, Yoachaz was anointed, not with the real Shem Mishcha, by Parsabo Nimshach, and not with the Shem Mishcha. And that was the same thing in regards to Yehu, that Yehu also, in order to avoid Machlokis, was anointed, but that was only with Shemin Aparsimo. The Gemara continues with more halachos in regards to the anointing. Ein moishkin ha-malachim elamin ha-keren. One is only supposed to use a horn to anoint the kings. The reason for that is because a keren is strong and it lasts. Shol v'yehu, and a proof to this is Shol and Yehu, both of their kingdoms did not last. Nimshach min ha-pach. They were anointed from a bucket. The pasuk says in regards to Shaul, Vayikach Shmuel as pach Hashemen. We see that the shemen was taken from a bucket. V'yehu also it says V'lokach tofach Hashemen. So we see that was a bad omen. They were nimshachu min apach Chaisa Malchusan Malchus Alveres. And their kingdom was not one that lasted. In contrast, Davru Shlomo Nimshachu min HaKeren, there the Pasuk expressly states that they were anointed from a horn. So, Haysa Malchus HaMelach HaKayemes. Malchus Kayemes. Their Malchus did last. Ein Moishchin Koyanim Melachim. Now the Gemara tells us Halachos in regards to the Malchus itself. One is not supposed to appoint and anoint a Kohen as a king. What's the source? The source is Lo Yosir Shevet Mi Yehuda. Says Gemar Amar Reb Yehuda An Tudaria Al Shem, the pasuk in Bereishis Lo Yosir Shevet Mi Yehuda, that tells us that the king is supposed to be from Yehuda and not even a Kohen. Amar Reb Chia Bar Adon Leman Yarech Yomim Amalachtoi Hu Uvanav Bekerev Yisrael. The pasuk describes how a Kohen is supposed to live in the end of Sefer Devarim. And the pasuk that's after it, Maksiv Basrei, what is the pasuk that is right after it? The pasuk that's right after that is Lo Yeh LeKohanim HaLeviim. The pasuk there continues Kol Shevet Levi Chelek VeNachala, that they shouldn't have a Chelek and a Nachala, which seems to indicate that included in that would be a Kohuna, because right before we spoke about the Malchus, and there's no greater Chelek or Nachala than Malchus, and the contrast is immediate in the Psukim that seems to preclude the Kohanim from the Shevet and the Nachala. Amar Rabbi Yechanan taught, when the Pasuk describes the children of Yoshio, one of them is described as Yechanan in Divrei Hayamim Aleph Gimel. Who Yechanan, who Yoachaz? That Yechanan is the same Yoachaz, asks the Gemara of Haksiv Bechor Yechanan. But doesn't the Pasuk describe that the Bechor was Yochanan, that's mentioned in Divrei Hayamim, and it also says that Yoachaz had a brother, Yoyakim, who was older than him. Answers the Gemara, Bechor LeMalchus. It's referring to the fact that he was the firstborn vis-a-vis the Malchus. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, who Yochanan, the Yochanan that's mentioned. Excuse me, who Shalom, the Shalom that is mentioned in Divrei Hayamim, who Tzidkiyo? This is the same person as Tzidkiyanu. Ask the Marav, Ksiv Hashlishi Tzidkiyo V'Arvi Shalom. But doesn't the Pasuk say that there was Tzidkiyo and then Shalom? Answers the Gemara, Shlishi Latalados, Yoyakum was the Bechor, then was Yochanan, then was Yoyachaz, and the fourth that had been born to Tzidkiyo was Shalom. Again, the third that was born was Tzidkiyo, who was Shalom, Revi Lamalchus, and he became the fourth to the Melech. The reason for that was the first that was Molech was Yoachaz, the second was Yoyakim, the third was Yechaniah, the son of Yoyakim, and the fourth was Tzidkiyo, who was Shalom. The Braisa also taught Tzidkiyo. Why was it called Tzidkiyo? Shetzidek olav midas hadin. Because he accepted the din that he was punished for his averus. It was also called Shalom, Shebiyamav Shalma, because in his day it was ended, it was completed, Malchus Beis David, the kingdom of David was completed. Now to confuse things even more, the Braisa says that really his name was neither of those names. Lo Shalom Havishme, his name was not Shalom, Lo Tzidkiyo Havishme, Ela Matanyo. Hado Dechsiv, Vayamlech Melech Bavelos Matanyo Doi Tachto Vayasev Eshmoy Tzidkiyahu. Now that we had learned about the Aron and yesterday's daf, the Gemara now begins to discuss the measurements of the Aron. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ba'ama Shoshit Shatfachim, when the Aron was measured, it was measured by an Am of 6 Tfachim, Haya Aron Asui. There is a big discussion what the length of an Amma is, whether an Amma is a length of 6 Tfachim or the Amma is a length of 5 Tfachim. There is a big sugya about that in Sukkah on Daf Hei, as well as in the beginning of Erevin. And here the Yerushalmi discusses this as well. So Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that when they measured the Aron, it was measured as an Am of 6 Tfachim. Man Tana Ba'am Shel Shisha Tfachim. Who is the Tana that says that it was 6 Tfachim? Rabbi Meir, that is Rabbi Meir. It's not, as we learned in a Mishnah. This Mishnah appears in Kalim in Perek Yud, Rabbi Meir Oimer, Kol Am is Hayu Bebeninus. All Amos were measured as middle size Amos. What does that mean? That means a 6 Tefach Amma. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Amos Habinyan Shisha. And it came to the measure of the actual structure of the Migdash, then it was 6 Tfachim. Shel Kelim Chamisha. But of the Echkelim, it's of 5 Tfachim. And there he disagrees, Rabbi Meir, the size of the Kelim. Al Daite de Rabbi Meir du Omar. The Gemara says, according to the opinion of Rabbi Meir, we say, Ba'amma Shel Shisha Tfachim Ayar Anasui. That's consistent with the opinion that we just read, that the measurement of the Aron was 6 Tfachim, because Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that the Kelim were measured by Amma Beinus, which is 6 Tfachim. What will come out there will be the Arko Shel Aron Chamisha Tfachim, that the length of the Aron would be 15 Tfachim, Dechsiv Amasayim V'chetzi Arkoi, which is Amsa Shita V'Amsa Shita, that each Amma is going to be 6 Tfachim, 6 and 6 is 12, Ufalgus Amsa Tlasa, and a half of an Amma is 3 Tvachim. Now the Gemara says something fascinating. V'arba luchos hayu boy, and there were 4 luchos inside of the Arim. Shnayim shlemim u'shnayim shvurim. It's interesting, the Gemara refers to them as 4 luchos. The 2 luchos actually being 4, because each one was made of a side. There were 2 parts to each luchos, which the Gemara here seems to count separately. 2 of them, of course, were full. They were, the second luchos weren't broken. The first, unfortunately, were. Dechsiv, asher shibarta v'samtem ba'aron. Now the measurements. Haluchos haye kol echad ve'echad archai vav tfachim. The luchos, the length was 6 tfachim. V'rachba shisha tfachim, as well as its width, was 6 tfachim. So then, what's the cheshman of fitting in? V'ten arkon shaluchos the arkon Shel Aron. So you give the length of the luchos to the length of the Aron, and it fits with even a little bit of room. Nishtayir sham shlosh tefachim. You'll be left with 3 tefachim. We go on to Amud Beis. Ten mehen chetzi tefach l'chol kos. So give a half a tefach for each wall, because the measurement that we had given before on the outside of the aron was from the outside, not the, for the thickness of the wall. So we take a half of a tefach for the thickness of the wall. Neshnayr shteish tefachim. What's left is two tefachim. The sefer Torah. There were two tefachim for the sefer Torah, not a very large sefer Torah. So this is the amazing description of how the luchos were and the sefer Torah fit in the aron. The Gemara continues. Rachvo shel aron. The width of the aron tisha tefachim. That was nine tefachim. Dichsiv, as the pasuk says. Amma v'chetzi rachva, amma and a half. Rachva amso ashita. We have an amma, as we just developed in our sugya, that is six tefachim. Upalga amso tlasan, a half an amma is three. V'arba luchos hayubo. And there were four luchos. Shnaim shleim, shnaim shurim. Dichsiv asher shibart. V'samta ba'aron aluchos hayikol echad v'echad. Arkon shisha tefachim. Each one, the length, was six tefachim. V'rachman shisha tefachim. And their width was six tefachim. So if you put them in the aron, and continues the Gemara with the cheshbon, ten rachban sheluchos l'rachvo shel aron, you put them in the width of the aron, which above we had said was nine tefachim, neshtar sham shlosha tefachim. What's left is three tefachim. Chetzi tefach mekan l'kai, so we give a half a tefach for the width of the wall. As we explained before, when we say nine, it doesn't describe the inside, it describes the length of the outside. You have to give the width of the wall, the aron, which is a half a tefach, chatzi tefach mekan, and another half on the other side of the kaisel. Ze v'tefchayim l'shilut makom she sefer Torah munach, and two tefachim will be enough for the sefer Torah resting over there. Period. Now the Gemara begins to discuss a dissenting view. Reb Shimon ben Lakish, we continue 10 lines from the top in the Yerushalmi on Tezayin Amibayz and Shkolim. Amar ba'ama bas chamisha tefachim haya aron asui, that the aron was made of five tefachim, not six tefachim. In other words, the amma was measured as five tefachim. Man tana, who is the opinion that corresponds with Reish Lakish is saying? Man tana ba'ama bas chamisha tefachim, Rabbi Yehuda. This follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The tanin and tamim we learned over there, Rabbi Yehuda amar. We mentioned Rabbi Yehuda's shita beforehand. Rabbi Yehuda amar. Amas habinyan shisha, when you measure the structure, then it's six tefachim. Sha kelim chamisha. But when we're talking about the kelim, then it is five tefachim. V'ahein, and also, aron kliyu, the aron is also a keli. So now let's cheshbon out, says the Gemara, the measurements of the aron, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Adalti Rabbi Yehuda du amar, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, we say, ba'ama shel chamisha tefachim haya. Hayarkai, then the length, asui shnei masar tefach. Then it was 12 tefachim, umechts and a half. Dechsiv, as we see, amasayim v'chetzi arka, amsa chamsha, v'amsa chamsha. So there were two amas, is 5 plus 5 is 10. Upalga amsa, trey uplig, and a half an amma is 2 and a half. That equals 12 and a half tefachim. V'dal luchos hayibo, and there were 4 luchos. Shnaim shleim shnaim shum, dechsiv asher shavarta v'samta baron, v'aluchos, haya kol echa v'echan arkan, shisha tefachim v'rachvan, shisha tefachim. They were six long and six wide. We've been translating the word rachvan as wide. Probably the best way to translate it is height and length. Either way, 10 arkan shel luchos, the arko shel aron. How did the luchos fit into the aron? You put them inside, v'nishtar sham chatzi tefach, and you leave a half a tefach that is left. Etzba l'koysel mikan, v'etzba l'koysel mikan. And a finger breadth width of the wall, mikan, rochvo shel aron. And according to this opinion, the width, what we've been calling the width the whole time, the width of the aron is shiva tefachim u'mechza, seven and a half tefachim, siv amma v'chetzi rochvo, an amma and a half, which is five, plus a half is 2.5. Amsa chamsha upalks amsa trey uplig. V'dal luchos hayibo, and the four parts of luchos were inside. Shnaim shlim shnaim shum. Dechsiv asher shavarta v'samta ba'aron. Haluchos hayi kol echad ve'echan arkon shisha tefachim v'rachvan shisha tefachim was six tefachim. 10 rachvan l'rachvo shalom v'shtar sham tefach u'mechza. 7.5 minus 6 leaves you tefach and a half. Etzba l'koysel mekan v'etzba l'koysel mekan. You have room for a finger's width for the wall on one side, a finger's width on the other side. Of course, we see here there's a difference of opinion between the man damer who holds that Amma's 5 versus Amma's 6, how thick the walls of the Aram were. Beforehand, we had the previous opinion who said that the Amma was 6, said that the width of the wall was Chatzi Tefach, it was quite a bit thicker. A Chatzi Tefach would be approximately 2 or 3 finger breadths. But this opinion holds, it's a Etzba L'Koysel, Mikan Chatzi Tefach, Mikan Chatzi Tefach. There's a Chatzi Tefach Mikan, a Chatzi Tefach Mikan that's left over. L'Shilut.
To be able to make the appropriate place to rule, in other words, that there was enough room for the Luchas.
Of course, what should jump out is that, according to this opinion and this description, there was no room for the Sefer Torah, and the Gemara will come back to this later on, where the Sefer Torah was put, according to the Man D'Amar, that it was 5 Tvachim. The Gemara now describes how Bezalel made the Aron. Ketzad asa Bezalel asa Aron. How did Bezalel make the Aron? Rabbi Chanina Amar, Shlosha Tevos Aso. He made 3 boxes, and this is the pashas of the Psukim themselves. Shtaim shel zahav, 2 of gold, v'achas shel eitz, and 1 of wood. Nasan shel zahav b'shel eitz, v'shel eitz b'zahav. The golden ones were on the edges. In other words, you had the gold one on the outside, a wooden one put inside the golden one, and then a golden one put inside the wooden one, v'tzipo, and then it was covered. In other words, the wooden one was covered with the golden boxes on either side. Why does the Torah repeat itself and say titzapenu? To emphasize that even the edge of the outside of the wooden one was covered with gold. Mefarshim learn that what that means is that the inner one was made tall so as to cover over the edge of the wood of the inside Aron. Shimon Lakish Amar Teva Achas Asor. Shimon Lakish says it was made of 1 box. Then what does the Torah describe when it comes to the tzipui? It goes like this: Vitzipo dechsiv vitzipisa osazav tar mibayis mechutz. And what it says vitzipisa, it means that it was covered with gold. Matam lomer titzapena. And then why does the Torah repeat titzapenu? Amar Rabbi Pinchas lahavi beneser leneser, that even the different pieces of the wood, every single part of the wood, was going to be covered by gold, and wasn't enough if just part of it was covered with gold. So we had two opinions about whether there was an aron b'toch aron or not. Now the Gemara discuss how the luchos were written. Ketzad haya luchos ksuvim. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel omer chamisha aluach zeh v'chamisha aluach zeh. Each one of the Aseres HaDibros was written on the Luchos, 5 on one side, 5 on one Luach, and 5 on the other Luach. Hareu dechsiv v'yichtevim al shnei Luchos avan. That means, chamisha Luach zeh, v'chamisha Luach zeh. That's the opinion of Rabbi Chanin. Rabbanan Amri, asara Luach zeh, v'asara Luach zeh. That 10, all each of the Aseres HaDibros were written on each Luach. In other words, what came out then was that the Aseres HaDibros were written twice on the Luchos. Hareu dechsiv, and that's what the Pasuk says, Vayageh lechem es brisoi, asher tziva eschem la'asleis Aseres HaDivarim. That's one description of Aseres HaDibros. And then the Torah repeats itself. It says, Vayichtav ha'luchos kemichtav rishon es Aseres HaDivarim. So it says twice that was written on Luchos Aseres HaDivarim. And Chazal darshan asara luach zeh, v'asara aluach zeh. It was actually 20 that was written on the Luchos, because they were also written on each side of the Luchos. So each one of the Luchos had, each side of it had 10, and it was written on both sides. So that means on every Luchos, you actually had Sach HaKol 40. Rabbi Simoi Omer, Arboim, Aluach Zev, Arboim, Aluach Zev. Dechsiv, Mizeu, Mizeh, Ksuvim. They were written twice on each Luchos. That was Mizeu, Mizeh. Tataroiga. Like a beam that is equal from all sides. So just to clarify the different shittas,
the Rabbanan learn that asara luach hazeh asara luach hazeh, which means that there were five that were written on each side of the luchos. So it comes out that sacha kol, there was 20, altogether was 20, because there was five on one side, five on the other, of one luach, five on one side, five on the other. The Rabbanan disagree and state that there was 10 that were written on every luach, while Rav Shimon bar Yochai says there was 10 on either side, while Rabbi Simai seems to be saying that since the luchos are really not flat, but they were three-dimension, they were written on all four sides. So if they were written on all four sides, so then that comes out that there was 10 that was written on all four sides, which is equal to 40. Chananya ben Ochi Rabbi Yeshua Imer. Chananya taught from Rabbi Yeshua, the brother of Rabbi Yeshua taught, Ben kol dibur v'dibur digdukeh v'yosiyoseh shel Torah. Between every word of the Aseres HaDibros were the Tamim and the Droshos of Chaseros and Yeseros of the Torah. Dichsiv mumulaim b'tarshish. In Shir HaShirim, it's described as filled up. Kiyama rabba, like a big ocean. At this point, probably the Gemara is talking allegorically. It's hard to imagine how that would fit on the Yaron. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Omer, excuse me, Rava Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Kadav Emotin Adin, Kraya. When he would get to this limud, he would say, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish would say, Hava Omer, he would say, Yofal Amdeni Chananya ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua. What a beautiful teaching that he equated the luchos to the yama gadol. Ma yama zeh ben gal gadol legal gadol, galim ktanim. Just like between the large waves, there are small waves. Kach kol dibur v'dibur diktokev v'siyoseh shel teira. There were the smaller waves, which were the didukim and the drushes of the osios shebetorah. Now the Gemara gets back to the observation that we had made earlier, according to the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda, who says that the amos of the Aron was five tfachim. Says Rebbe Tenchuma, I'm Rebbe Tenchuma, Iskashes Kumi Rebbe Pinchas, Asa ke Rebbe Yehuda, Velo Asya ke Rebbe Meir. From the Psukim, it's actually Mashma, like Rebbe Yehuda, not like Rebbe Meir. My time at the Rebbe Yehuda. What is the rationale of Rebbe Yehuda in terms of his cheshbon of the measurements? It starts with the Sefer Torah. Dichsiv, the Pasuk Dvarim says, Lo koyach ha-Sefer HaTorah, hazev samtam, oiso mitzad orim bris Hashem, that the Sefer Torah was taken and placed next to the Yaron. Because Moshe tells the Levim, take the Sefer Torah and put it on the side of the Aron, as described in Dvarim, in the end of Parshas Vayelach. Al daiti du Rabbi Yehuda, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, du Amar, hechana yisefer Torah nosun, how was the Sefer Torah placed? It works very well. Kimin gluskia, like a box or a shelf, asalam bimachutz, that was made outside of the Aron, vayisefer Torah nosun besocho, and the Sefer Torah was put inside of it. That's the mashmos that's put next to it. However, my time at the Rebbe Meir, what is it, the rationale of Rebbe Meir, who says that the Sefer Torah was put inside? The pasuk says, "When asatas hakapiris ala orim el mala ve'la orim titen esoedus asher etain alecha." How does Rebbe Meir understand that? Al daiti de Rebbe Meir, according to Pir Meir, du amar, it is said a muktam mucha b'Torah. There isn't an order necessarily in the Torah. Ela ve'la orim titen esoedus asher etain alecha. You're going to put in the Aron, the Eidus, and afterwards you put the Kapiris, and included in that is the Eidus, and according to Rabbi Meir, that includes the Sefer Torah. Rabbi Pichas b'shem Rabbi Shimon Lakish, HaTorah she'nasan la'akadosh baruch hu l'moshe. This is a beautiful Maimer Chazal that is quoted often by Balei Avoda. The Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe, nasan la'esh levana charusa be'esh shechayra. He gave the Torah as a white fire that was ingrained on it with white fire. In other words, black fire. The black fire corresponds to the ink, so the black fire was written on the white fire. He esh, Torah itself is a fire. Muvleles be'esh, and it is mixed with fire. Chatzuva me'esh, it's words are hallowed from fire. Unasuna me'esh, and it was given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe b'fire, d'chsiv mi'minoi eshtos lamoi.
This Be'ezer Hashem concludes Daf Tezayin in Maseches Shkolim. The harder part of the Masechta is mostly behind us, and now we get to enjoy some of these beautiful Agadtas. Wishing you a gitavach here from Artzenu HaKadosha. We've now concluded Daf Tezayin, the 458th Daf in Shas.